Bible class this morning as we continue our study of Galatians, and we welcome our KFUO listening audience. We are beginning today at chapter 5, verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. I tell you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not accomplish or fulfill the desires of the flesh. All right, we're continuing this discussion. He's now very much talking about how we lead the Christian life. And so, walk by the Spirit. All right. Walk. It is not pointing us to trying to live out the Mosaic law. That's not the point. When Paul is talking about walking led by the Spirit, what he's talking about is when Jesus was asked, what's the fulfillment of the law? He said, love. So what is being talked about here is that the Christian is going to walk by the Spirit, that is, in love, because it is love that fulfills the law. So it's not just doing things. It is an attitude of love. And it's by the Spirit, because only the Spirit can empower this. A human being cannot muster this on his or her own. And you will not fulfill or accomplish the desires of the flesh. Now, the flesh, usually when we read that word, we instantly think of the old Adam that lives within us. And that's certainly part of it. But that's not all of it. When we see that word here in Galatians, we need to look at it as a much broader term. That is, when he's talking about living in the flesh, he's talking about living apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ. You're living your life without him. Okay? So walk in the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That is, this life of living apart from Christ. Now, he points us to the Spirit because it's only the Spirit that can empower and motivate. Empower and motivate. The law can't do that. The law cannot give us strength. The law cannot empower us. The law cannot save us. Okay? But the Holy Spirit can. It is the work of the Spirit. Now, we will still sin, but we go forward in the forgiveness that the Spirit gives us. It really harks back to what John in his first epistle says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is greater than anything that is in this world. Okay, so the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For they are opposed, these are opposed to one another, in order that you will not do, or that you do not do these things. In other words, they're opposed to each other. They're at war with each other. And that battle is going to be carried on in each of us. That battle is going to carry on throughout our time in this world until we are in heaven. It is a constant battle. But the Holy Spirit is there to give us strength so that we do not do these desires of the flesh. That we do not do them. To empower and motivate us. All right. Four, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you recall, we studied this, and Paul goes into some detail in this in Romans chapter 8. You're either of the Spirit or you're of the flesh. In other words, you are leading a life apart from Christ, without Christ, or you're leading your life in the power of Christ and His Holy Spirit. And they are mutually exclusive. Okay? If you're in the Spirit, then you're no longer under the law. That is, you're no longer under the law in the sense you're trying to keep the law to save yourself. Okay? But this constant battle will go on, but we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And then he says, now, the works of the flesh are clear. Okay, the works of the flesh are clear, and he lists them. There's 15 of them. Depending on what translation you have will depend on how these words are translated. Okay? There's not a universal guide for this translation. But we're going to look at these by division, because there are some divisions. The first three are sexual immorality, uncleanness, and lewdness. These three pertain to sexual sin. Okay? These three pertain to sexual sin. Then there are two more. Idolatry and sorcery. These are sins directly against God. Remember the second commandment. The first commandment. No other gods before me, and not to use witchcraft. Not to call on other names besides God's name. So these two are against, directly against God. Then we have a list of eight different sins. Okay? Eight different sins. If we look at those, they are enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envy. Those are all sins that are found in a community. They are found in a community. In other words, these are sins a person commits against another person. Okay? A person commits against another person. And why are there eight of these? Now, this is not an all-inclusive list of every sin you can commit. But the emphasis seems to be on this batch, eight. Sins against one another, sins in a community, because that may well have been the biggest problem in Galatia. That's the conjecture. And then there are two last ones, drunkenness and orgies. Okay, both sins of excess. And things like these. Then he says, I've warned you, I've told you before, that the ones who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice he calls them works of the flesh. Works that are done apart from Jesus Christ. Now, as we go through those, your first inclination is always to say, well, I've done that. Uh-oh. But fear not. That's not your way of life. The Holy Spirit is guiding you. And yes, at times you're going to sin. This is talking about something completely different. This is talking about totally leading your life without regard to Christ and looking upon these things as things that you enjoy. Things that you don't think are even wrong. They just come naturally to sinful people. That's what he's talking about here. A life. Okay? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, notice how the list, divisions, rivalries, all that, evil, the flesh, always creates division. The Holy Spirit always creates division. Unity. Okay? Unity. The inheritance, calling it an inheritance, is an inheritance is a gift. Okay? An inheritance is a gift. Now, on the positive side, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, notice the distinction, the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, the bearing fruit language starts all the way back in the Old Testament. There are a number of passages in Isaiah about the people of God bearing fruit. That's where the first story is that God planted his vineyard and looked for it to bear fruit. Okay? Isaiah chapter 5. It's in Isaiah chapter 57. The thing is, the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit naturally grows depending on the source that it comes from. Now, and then he lists the fruit of the Spirit. And he starts with love. Agape love. That's not surprising that that's where he begins. Because all other fruit flows from love. Beginning with the love of Christ that he had for us when he went to the cross of Calvary. All love that we reflect begins with the love of God at the cross. Without it, we don't even know what love is. The love of God for us at the cross is now what works love in all of us. In every one of us. So it begins with love. Joy. Okay, we now have joy because we are no longer under the burden and slavery of the law. Okay, life can be joyful because we know the ending. We are in heaven. And nothing can take that from us. Peace. We now have peace with God. We were at enmity with God. Now we have peace. The relationship has been reconciled. We are at peace with God, and because of our peace with God, we can be at peace with one another. Okay? Love, joy, peace. Patience. Patience. The actual word here is used at times in Greek, and it means to have a slow fuse. A slow fuse. Okay? Patience. Kindness. The kindness means that you delay wrath. That is one of the attributes of God, that he is kind. He delays his wrath. He's not arbitrary or quick to punish. He delays his wrath, and we have experienced that. Goodness points us to the fact of being generous. Faithful is based on the fact that God is faithful. God is faithful to us, always keeps his promises, so we are to be faithful with those around us. Okay? Faithful in our friendships, in our relationships. Then we are to be gentle. Gentleness has to do with our treatment of others. No matter what the situation, we treat them gently and self-control. Okay, which is something everybody needs. Okay. Self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's nothing in the law that would oppose these things. These are the very fulfillment of the law. The very fulfillment. Now notice it doesn't follow up and say, those who do these things will inherit eternal life. Because that's not how we inherit eternal life, doing these things. These things flow from the fact that our faith is in Jesus Christ. They are fruit. They are not works that earn. They are the fruit of salvation. The one who earns us eternal life, the inheritance, is Christ, and only Christ. Okay? For those who are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. In other words, those who are in Christ, and this is speaking of baptism. Those who are baptized into Christ, the old has been crucified, put to death, conquered. The way of the flesh, life apart from Christ, has been crucified with all its passions and all its desires. You have the victory. That's what it's saying. You have the victory. If we live by the Spirit, we walk by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. That's the way he started. Walk by the Spirit. Okay? And then he gives a final little warning here. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Pride is the destroyer of us individually and of the Christian community. Okay? Pride is where it begins. So he warns them about this in a final warning. Certainly, pride does not flow, is not part of life by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, proud, because that will lead to provoking one another and envying one another. So, the works of the flesh, but of the fruit of the Spirit. That's his emphasis. Yeah, bud?
The words used in here for the
evangelist, yeah,
are things you do. They are active things you do. The fruits of the Spirit, however, are sort of one-off. They're not things that we accomplish, per se. They're things that are accomplished by what's in us, the Spirit.
Correct.
There's a different sense in those.
There is a different sense. The works, as soon as you say works, you're automatically thinking what I do, okay? Fruit is a natural process of growth. When you are in Christ, you grow. So the concept of love, that's not a work. It will spur you to do certain things, but it's an attitude, it's something God has worked in you that will lead you in life. By love. Yes. Correct. He does return to anger before the letter's out. Okay? But he preaches this and it's very pastoral. It is very gentle. Okay? Because he is not really talking to the false teachers here. He's talking to the Galatians, his flock. Okay? That's correct. Everything falls in place when everything flows from the love of Christ. Now, as we enter chapter 6, the first 5 verses, in fact, the first 10 verses, basically talk about how you live this out. Okay? How you live this out. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Okay. If anyone is caught, the word can also be overwhelmed in any transgression. In other words, the point is, if a believer falls into this, you who are spiritual, it says, should restore him. Notice it says, in a spirit of gentleness. That means you are approaching the person because you're sinful too. You don't approach the person as I'm better than you. It is a spirit of gentleness because you are a sinner likewise, to restore the person. But notice he's very keen. But watch out that you too are not tempted. When you're in this position of helping others, don't think that you're immune to temptation. The temptation may be even greater because Satan doesn't like you doing this work. So as you do this work, realize don't be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, all through this letter, law and Christ have been opposites. What is he saying? A Christian fulfills the law in Christ-like love. That's the emphasis. Fulfills the law in Christ-like love. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Okay? If you think you're something, that goes back up to that first verse. If you think you're something and you can go around correcting everybody else, what's going to happen? You're going to be tempted and you're going to be in a mess too. In other words, don't think too highly of yourself. Okay? I once had a student. His name was, last name was Smart. And he wasn't. But he thought he was. And that led to problems. Okay? That led to problems. All right, but let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. In other words, you've got to test your own works. In other words, your own self. And the thing we like to do most is compare ourselves with others, and we always include we're better. Always conclude we're better. We like to compare ourselves with others because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. For each will have to bear his own load. Now, that sounds contradictory. In verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens. Now he says each one will have to bear his own load. The word is not burden, it's load. The first is just pointing out the fact that all of us are going to need help in life from Christians, fellow Christians. But the last verse is saying, you are still responsible for your own actions, your own life, your own life. There's kind of the first verse talks about the corporate. The second half of the first verse talks about the individual. Verse 2 talks about the corporate. Verses 3 to 5 talk about the individual. So it's kind of going back and forth here. Okay? Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. That passage basically says if you're, and by the way, the word is catechized, from where we get catechism. Okay? In other words, the one who does this should be taken care of by the ones that receive the teaching, which is the basis of why the congregation pays its pastors and teachers. So they can focus on that totally and carry out this task of preaching and teaching. One simple verse. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. That which he also reap. In other words, what goes around comes around. And God is not mocked. He's not going to just let this stuff pass. Okay? That which you sow, so shall you reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. That's going back again to what we talked about, the works of the flesh. It is a life apart from Christ. It is a life apart from Christ. And if you sow that, you're going to reap corruption. In the Spirit, it's eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good. You ever just get tired of being good? You just get tired. I mean, you're confronted with these things all the time, and you just have to wrestle with yourself to make you do it. That's what he's talking about here. It's hard for us to do this. It's got to be empowered by the Spirit. But don't, Paul is saying, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. Okay? So living as a Christian is hard work. It's hard work to fight temptation. It's hard work to do things at times that you know you should do as a Christian, but they're really kind of inconvenient and take some energy. Don't give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. So in other words, this applies, the Christian, to everybody, but especially those in the body of Christ. Okay? Especially those in the body of Christ. And so he's talked about how the community should take care of itself. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Some have pointed to this and said maybe he's got bad eyesight. But that's really not a good translation or a good understanding here. What used to happen is, and Paul in many of his epistles lists that he had a scribe. Somebody wrote it down. It was very common for these letters to be given by dictation. But at the very end of the letter, the person would actually take a pen and write himself the closing comments of the letter. That's what we think is happening here. This letter had been written by a scribe, but now Paul takes the pen for the final remarks so that they know that these words have come from them. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only order in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. In other words, they're trying to force you into circumcision, so they themselves are not persecuted by others saying, you don't teach the keeping of the law. Probably, they would be persecuted by other so-called Jewish Christians that believe you had to have both faith and keep the law. Okay? That they would be persecuted by these other people. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law. In other words, nobody keeps the law. And the people that are trying to force you into circumcision don't keep the law any more than you do. They're all sinners. They don't keep the law any more than you do. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. That is, use you as an example to boast with. Literally, to boast of what they've done to you. Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. What he's basically saying here is the old world, the old age, the age of the law, the age of Adam's sin, with Jesus Christ, he has brought a new age. And these things are dead to me. I'm putting them behind me. It is time for new life that has been brought by Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. New age brought by Jesus Christ. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. There it is. When Jesus Christ was crucified, he killed the old and brought forth the new. And we are living in the new. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, we just read that and say, well, that's a nice ending. It's a mess to try to interpret because he's addressing two groups of people. Grace and mercy be upon them, that's one group, and upon the Israel of God, that's another group. The Israel of God is easy now to define because the new Israel is all Gentile and Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. All of them. That's the new Israel. That's the Israel of God. But who is them? Okay? And that's debated and argued about. Some believe it's actually the false teachers that have deceived the Galatians, and Paul is hoping that God will be merciful to them. But we don't really know who the them is. Okay? It wouldn't be the Galatians because they're part of the Israel of God. Okay, so there's all kinds of arguments of who the them are, but we don't know for sure. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. In other words, leave me alone. I have suffered for this. I have bodily injuries because of this. Don't mess with me. I've paid the price to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached. Don't mess with me. Okay? Very blunt, very matter of the fact. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Always grace, because that's what they need the most. Grace. The undeserved love of God shown in Jesus Christ. And he closes the letter. The letter of Galatians is different in that you do not read anywhere in this letter Paul complimenting the Galatians for anything. You find that in his other letters. He will compliment them if this and that. There are no compliments in the book of Galatians. Okay? He makes it very clear where he's coming from. Very clear. And because he so clearly explains the gospel here, Galatians and Romans are very much emphasized. If you want to find just passages that clearly explain the gospel, those are the two books to use. Those are the two books to go to. And they spell it out very clearly. We're saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake. And there is no works of the law contributed by us to our salvation. It is all the work of God. Totally and completely. All right, questions, comments. Well, the test will be next week. You still understand it so clearly. Yes, sir. Okay.
So, this is kind of a small point here, so bear with me.
It's fine.
Chapter 5, when it says the works of the flesh, if you just kind of do the accounting with the Ten Commandments, everything's covered except for murder. So, I don't know, maybe murder is not a
well. It certainly reflects sin, but as I said before, these works of the flesh are not Paul's attempts to make an all-inclusive list. There are other sins, obviously, that are not listed in this list that you can do. So to try to make a one-to-one correspondence is probably pushing it a little far. Yeah.
Some of the scribes must have been thinking the same way. My Bible notes that there are some manuscripts that add murder.
Yeah. Well, and see, these scribes, when they were copying these letters, one of the things we have to be careful about is scribes tended to add words, because they thought it would be helpful in the understanding. Okay? So that's why we always say the shortest version stands. Not the longest, the shortest. Because if there's a long version of a verse with added words and a short version, more than likely the long version, the scribes were adding words. Shortest reading stands. And the oldest reading stands. Yes. Yes. Yes, the list that he made, and I talked about that, are probably the sins that he saw in Galatia. And not all inclusive. They could apply to any Christian congregation. But he's probably talking about sins that he had actually observed in this Christian congregation. Yes. Not here. There's too much anger throughout this letter. There's just too much. Well, we're not going to judge his heart, but his words are pretty plain. Okay? His words are pretty plain. He's mad. Okay? He's mad. Yeah, Mark? Correct. Sins of omission are sins that we ought to do and don't do. And we know we ought to, the good things we are to do, and we know we're supposed to do them, but we don't do them. That's a sin of omission. Yes. Correct. Fruit is singular. Works, plural. Fruit means you get all this. This is a package deal. You can't say, well, I'm going to be patient and I'm going to be kind, but I'm not going to work on the rest of it. It's a package deal. I don't want self-control. I don't want patience. It's a package deal. It's all what the Holy Spirit wants to give each and every individual in Jesus Christ. The whole thing. Well, they could lead to murder. Yeah.
Rage, jealousy.
That's right. So, all right, we're done with Galatians. Next week, I'm going to teach on, it will be a surprise. Okay? My choice. I'll decide about Thursday. What we're going to do Sunday, and we'll do something, and then the next Sunday we don't meet because it's Easter. Okay? So come and expect to be surprised next week. Who knows what we'll do? Just for fun. All right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.